about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
He says he grew up listening to Wacky 103.5 today. He got to see firsthand how that radio magic is made and even got to take his seat behind the microphone, something he says he's wanted to do for years.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Sometimes I remember how Dave thought that little boy's name was Malachi, and I just laugh.
Mexico!
Oh, thank you, Chuck. And can I ask, how is your podcast going?
I don't have a podcast.
What? You don't have a podcast? Oh, my God. What's wrong with you, Grandma? Actually, save it. And tell me about it on my new podcast, What's Wrong With You, Grandma?
And now.
I'm just trying to figure out why you would do this. Why anyone would do this.
The reason anyone would do this, if they could, which they can't, would be because they could, which they can't.
Our feature presentation.
Love Rick and Morty so much. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 17th of July. You all right, Ellie?
What happened there?
She just... knocked over my...
That's usually my move, right?
Listen, our chairs aren't working. I'm trying to raise the chair to be where the mic is, and then that wasn't happening, so I tried to move the mic down.
Yeah, here's my advice to you. Just give up.
Right.
It's never going to work.
Okay.
Here's what here's what folks may not know is that K-Rock is shutting down. Not the radio station, the studio where we're in. They've sold the building. All right, so in a few weeks or a couple of months maybe, the
we can't pin it down.
Yeah, right. They won't tell us. I think they may move in the cover of night. It'll be like, was it the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts that moved in the middle of the night and didn't tell anybody when they went to Baltimore?
I don't know that.
So, So basically, systems are shutting down. I told Chip this morning, it's like being on a spaceship that's engines dying.
Yeah.
Right? Just gradually, every hallway is getting darker and darker. Air conditioning is working less
and all
less.
Of the people who can fix that are already at the other building.
Right.
So
that's
they don't
gone.
Care.
Right. We are we're the last survivors. We're just,
right.
The Titanic is already underwater, and we are just in a lifeboat just hoping one day somebody comes to save us, and we're running out of hope. Running out of food, running out of fresh water.
Other than that, everything's great.
I mean, that's not too far from the truth is how reduced the services are here at this building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're at the point now where if they run out of coffee, they're not buying new coffee. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
If the snack machine is empty, oh, well. Wait until you get to the new building to get a snack. So it's desperate times, you guys.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's absurd.
Yeah. All right. Here's the thing.
Okay.
All right. We thought you would follow that up with a thing.
A thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this, but I'm curious. I hung on to this story that happened while we were on vacation. Danielle Lopresti is her name. She is a singer-songwriter, and she and her wife, Alicia Champion, were driving down to San Diego. They live someplace else in California now. They are from San Diego. Driving down to San Diego to perform at an anti-gun violence concert. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So they live in Oakland. Okay. So they're performing this benefit and they're listening to the radio on their way down and they come across New Rock 104.1 in Fresno, by the way.
Fresno, what you sipping?
That's our station one time,
right?
A long time ago, right?
We were on that station for like 3 weeks.
We were.
Wow.
Yeah. Worst 3 weeks that station ever had. So they're listening to New Rock 104.1, and they hear the song Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People.
Right.
Which obviously is a hugely popular song. We've played it for years here on K-Rock. Everybody knows the Pumped Up Kicks, right?
Yep.
Well, they weren't feeling it because you guys remember what the song is about, right?
Yeah, the lyrics are the opposite of what it sounds like.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very peppy. But it is written from the perspective of a teenager in high school who is contemplating a mass shooting. And that's what that's what the whole lyrics are about, is I hope you can, outrun my gun and be faster than my bullet and all that.
Right.
So they know likey. So they call the radio station and complain about it. And they get our old friend DJ Skippy on the line.
Oh, DJ Skippy. I miss the Skipster.
And he said, of course, she said, oh, DJ Skippy's a woman. She said there's nothing she can do about it, but she would forward the call on to the program manager, Jason Squires. By the way, usually when a DJ says they're going to forward a call on to the program manager, that never happens.
That's where it ends.
In this case, it did. Okay. Well, the ladies did. They left their message. They did not expect to hear much from the radio station. They continued driving. But about 2 hours later, Jason Squires called them on the phone and said, you know what? I think you're right. We're going to take that song off the air. We're not going to play Pumped Up Kicks anymore.
That was the first complaint in, what, 8 years?
Unclear.
Because I was going to say, we've been playing it regularly now since it came out.
Right.
Yes.
Seems like 7, 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make us bad?
Well, that's the question that I have for you is, I mean, honestly, I think this is an interesting perspective. Even Foster the People has taken that song out of their set lists if they are performing too close to another mass school shooting.
Well, that makes sense.
That means you're never playing it.
Yeah. Right. Good point, Allie. It even makes the band uncomfortable. Huh. But I also feel like I need to point out that it's art, first of all. And can we make no art from the perspective of bad people or bad things happening? I mean, could you not make a painting about a mass shooting? Could you not do a play or a movie about a mass shooting? I don't know that one encourages the other or that one.
I think that's the common misconception, because it might happen sometimes, but the common misconception is if you talk about that, then somebody's going to go, oh, I should do that.
Right.
Today.
Right.
Which is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I mean, I kind of have mixed feelings about it, but I'm stunned that this radio station, based on this complaint, would take a very popular song off the air. So that's why I was just curious what you guys thought about it. Like, what do you? I mean, should he have done it? Should we do it?
Was there a school shooting there?
No.
Okay, then I think not.
But they were on their way to a rally to end gun violence.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I understand why it seemed.
I mean, there are a lot of songs about a lot of things that can be terrible. Mm-hmm. You don't take off all songs because they don't have positive lyrics.
Right.
Or because they hit somebody the wrong way
one day
or something.
So I think it's sort of protected under that rule. I like that the band is sensitive to the fact that if they're going to a city where that happened, they don't play it. I like that.
But how about the radio station? I mean, wouldn't it be showing the same sensitivity to say, hey, there's a school shooting every week in this country, so we're not going to play it?
I mean, it's up to them. I don't have a problem with us playing it, if that's what you're asking.
If they were driving to a abortion rally and they hear Brick, are they like, listen, I need Ben Folds 5 off the air? It's no.
And then the program director would go, we're playing Ben Folds 5?
Right? I need to fire someone.
In 2018?
I just say, let's calm down with the, oh, that program director really did the right thing. It's an 8-year-old song. If that song was number one right now, he wouldn't have called them back.
I assume not. Yeah.
So, come on, people, come on.
Calm your tees.
Calm your tees. Holy.
What you said,
man. All right, so Allie has ruled then.
And I like the ruling. I'm with her.
Allie has ruled. Go ahead and play it and please enjoy.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm giving you gold. Don't make me shovel crap.
Adam Carolla will join us on today's show.
Yeah.
Ari Siegel, who is from the L.A. Valiant Overwatch League, eSports.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand one word of that sentence.
You understand eSports.
Yes, okay. Of course. Right. Yes.
That was one of the words in the sentence. I was just checking.
All right. Okay. I got that one. Get that one.
We also have Cheers with Beer Mug, talking about LeBron James coming to the Lakers.
Oh, that's happening?
And the odd... what is it? The odd backlash about him coming.
It is odd.
It seems
really
like there's a larger amount of people than you would think that thinks it's the worst idea ever.
Laker fans.
Yeah, well, maybe. Mm. See, I don't know if they're Laker fans or Kobe fans. I don't know where it's coming from, but aren't you happy if you're any professional sports franchise and you get the best player in that sport?
You would think.
I would think so.
Yeah, he's that player that you hate, and then he's on your team, and you're like, yes!
You hate, but you watch him and go, holy
Absolutely.
Crap. Look at that, what he's able to do. Brand new internet roundup on the program today. We are going to tell you about the new Sacha Baron Cohen show on Showtime called Who is America? We have Animal Stories, and we have your Comic-Con passes as well. Coming up this morning, we'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Hey, is Muse coming in this week?
Yes.
We're talking about another new song?
Thursday morning.
They refuse to release an album, but like every 2 months, they put out another song.
I love it. Can't
that's
wait.
That's what they say they want to do. I think they think the album is dead or something.
I went to the movie that they played. What was it, last week, right?
Thursday.
Drones movie or whatever?
The Drones World Tour. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Well, they're an amazing live band.
They're an amazing live band, yeah.
For sure. All right, Tuesday morning, 5:52. Allie, what's happening?
How many times did you see the Muse movie?
Just the one time.
Just once.
It only was showing once, though. I probably would have stayed more.
You absolutely would have. How many times, again, if people didn't hear yesterday, Ant-Man?
And the Wasp?
Mm-hmm. Three. Mm-hmm. So far.
Right.
Correct. I kind of love it. Hey, any of you doing the whole Amazon Prime Day yesterday?
Got some pretty good deals.
Oh, did you buy some stuff?
Got some pretty good deals.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Got some headphones.
All right.
They were normally $299, got them for $125.
Oh, my.
Boom!
I'll say.
Right? That is less, all right?
That is less. I don't know. I got a couple other smaller things, but that was pretty cool.
And any problems when you tried to get on Amazon Prime?
No. I'm not sure when that happened, but not when I was on it.
Yeah. Widespread outages when Amazon Prime started. According to Down Detector, the outage was restricted to the U.S. and affecting large parts of California and New York.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
This is a colossal disaster.
Some smaller outages in the Pacific Northwest. But what happened was a lot of people were getting the picture of the dog that comes up. Mm-hmm. And it says, Dogs of Amazon, with text that reads, Sorry, something went wrong on our end.
Mm-hmm.
And I have come to find out that all those dogs in those pictures are dogs of people that work at Amazon.
Huh.
So it made it even lovelier to me that I couldn't get on and get that sound bar
I was trying to get.
I was like, look at that bug.
I don't think it was down. Well, I guess it depends on where you were.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Seattle, home of Amazon, I think it was only down for a few minutes, about 7 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you guys hear that? And correct me if I'm wrong, that it's bigger than Black Friday?
It's ridiculous.
It's
30 hours, and last year they got around $34 million every hour.
$34 million an hour.
I'm sorry. Yes, for 30 hours. It generates an estimated $1 billion in sales.
Wow.
That's
is the idea of this to try to get people to sign up for Amazon Prime? Is that why they do it?
Yeah. Okay. It's to make you kind of aware that Amazon Prime is there, and then you think, oh, look at all these great deals. I'm totally going to get Amazon Prime. And then you go on like a week later, you're like, wait a minute. This is just the same as before.
Hey, I think it would be worth having Amazon Prime just for video, just for watching stuff on the app or on the site.
And free shipping,
for God's sakes.
Come on.
What, are we doing a commercial for Amazon?
Sounds like it.
I mean, I will. Let me know, Amazon. Give a call, 1-800-52.
Nope.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, people were a little bit upset, but I think if they knew going in that those were dogs of people that worked at Amazon,
they wouldn't have got so angry.
Would have taken the sting off. But I got a sound bar for my TV.
Yeah.
Because I have noticed, and I hate to keep bringing up the bird issue that but I have to turn my TV up so loud that it almost sounds like
distorted.
The TV is vibrating. Yeah, like overmodulation. So I had been researching soundbars, and then yesterday I was like, oh, hello, soundbar. So huge discounts over there at Amazon Prime.
Then right to the dog.
Right to the dog. But I did eventually get it, so that was pretty cool. You guys, seriously, the VMAs are still a thing. Those still go on.
But are they? They certainly used to have a lot more cachet than they do now.
Absolutely. Ooh, cachet. All right.
Word of the day, you know.
Pretty good. Yeah, they will be airing on MTV on Monday, August 20th, but the nominations were announced yesterday, and it's the year of Cardi B. She leads with 10 nominations, including Video of the Year, Artist of the Year, Song of the Year.
Over Beyonce and Jay-Z?
Beyonce and Jay-Z, very close with 8 nominations, and Childish Gambino and Drake tied with 7 each.
Wow.
But Artists of the Year, Ariana Grande, Bruno Mars, Camila Cabello, Cardi B, Drake, and Post Malone.
Guys, is Cardi B going to win that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just checking.
She probably will, but no, people, stop it. I can't. I'm going to come right out and say, no, stop it with the Cardi B. Everybody, please.
I don't mind her, by the way.
I don't hate her, but it just seems so really gimmicky that it's going to be really short-lived. That's my thought on her.
I laughed very hard when she was pregnant, but was denying that she was pregnant and said, let me fat in peace.
Yeah, that was funny.
I laughed very hard at that. But everything since then, cut it out.
I mean, she's got a thing that she does. But
she definitely does.
I feel like it's a little gimmicky.
Definitely does. But for our listeners, Best Rock, Fall Out Boy Champion, Foo Fighters, The Sky is a Neighborhood, which I feel...
Foos.
It's been a while, The Sky is a Neighborhood, but I guess maybe not. Imagine Dragons, Whatever It Takes, Linkin Park, One More Light, Panic at the Disco, Say Amen Saturday Night, and 30 Seconds to Mars, Walk on Water.
All right.
Well, those are good songs.
Sure.
They are. Do they feel like they've been out
forever?
Way
yes.
more than a year?
Well, years go by fast these days.
I also don't know what their criteria is for the last year. Maybe it was from, I don't know, calendar 2017, or maybe like 2015 until now. Maybe that's their year, because it does seem like
a long time.
Songs are really
or
old.
Do you think they're like, who has rock songs anymore?
Yeah, true.
I remember hearing one, Imagine Dragons, look up a song. I don't know. That could just be it. But we'll have much more on the VMAs as we get closer.
Really?
August 20th. Cannot wait.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Mm-hmm. To the VMAs? Or
yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, is there...
It's in New York, I believe, this year.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
Yeah, you can pick up something here.
Come tonight.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available,
usually are, but around a big event, sometimes do sell out.
Very
so.
Difficult, yeah.
Major fan of K-Rock. Oh. I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're up for one, too, as well.
They are not.
Okay.
But, I mean, feel free. We'd love for you to introduce
How
them.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert,
quite a ways. And it's not a festival, it's the VMAs, Video Music Awards.
And when does the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
I mean, people probably show up in the afternoon to see some of the stars go in, but...
The Hoff loves to rock.
Well, then the VMAs are not the place for you. That's all I'm going to say. And happy birthday to that man, David Hasselhoff. Knight Rider, Baywatch.
You're saying that as if it's the golden age of TV.
Really was.
Come on, though.
Really was.
Okay.
Come on, Knight Rider.
I mean,
kid.
All right.
The car talked, man.
Right?
That's bitching.
Okay.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
Agreed.
This is a mess.
Not a high point. Donald Sutherland, Billy Lord, and Luke Bryan. And that's what's happening.
Adam Carolla on the program today. Also a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. And we're sending you to Comic-Con. All of that on the way on K-Rock. First, though, how about some animal stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Sad news to start the program today. We're going to dedicate this edition of Animal Stories. What?
Don't bum us out with Animal Stories.
Right?
Well, it's just that if you missed it while we were on break, Zsa Zsa, the world's ugliest dog, passed away.
Oh, all right.
Remember we talked about her? This is very sad. She was the 9-year-old English bulldog who had recently been crowned.
Oh, that just won.
That one that just won like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She's a bitch.
No, she's not a bitch at all.
She had a really hard life.
She did. But she died in her sleep.
But she was a bitch.
Right? technically, yes.
Yeah.
At her home in Minnesota. And the only thing I can say is, as Allie mentioned, she had a terrible life as a breeder, kept in a cage. And then she ended up having this wonderful family that traveled with her.
her, and she got lots of attention and lots of love. So, you know, it ended up being a pretty good life for Zsa Zsa. But let's dedicate the report to little Zsa
Zsa. Is this
today,
Bean's Death Corner? I'm confused.
No, it's not. I wasn't bringing it up since she was a famous animal in the news.
Sure, recently. Of course.
Very famous.
I do have a happy dog story, though. If you saw this, this is curious to me because I have talked on the air and off the air as well about how you can't fly with certain flat-faced dogs. Like, I have English bulldogs like Zsa Zsa, and you can't take them on a plane. There's almost no carrier that will allow you to take them on the plane because they have inherent breathing problems.
Right.
Well, somehow JetBlue still allows it, and Michelle and Stephen Bird had their 3-year-old French bulldog on a plane recently. Darcy was in a pet carrier under the seat in front of him and started to become distressed. Her owner, Michelle, noticed that her tongue and gums had turned blue, signaling a lack of oxygen. Now, I'm confused by this because if Darcy's not getting enough oxygen, is anybody getting enough oxygen? What are they doing on JetBlue?
How dare you, first of all, besmirch JetBlue.
Isn't it harder for dogs like that to breathe?
Yes.
It is.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it is. But, I mean, she was in the cabin, which is pressured. So it's just weird to me that she would have this trouble breathing. But here's the happy ending of the story. They alerted the flight attendant, who brought over oxygen, an oxygen mask, put it on the dog. She perked right up. She's absolutely fine.
So take it back, because you know what United would have done? Chucked her out the window.
I don't think they would have chucked her out the window. I'm pretty sure that's not their policy.
United would have asked if there was a vet on board to put the dog down. So that's very quick thinking, by the way, from a flight attendant to go, hey, we have oxygen masks. Let's help out little Darcy. And she's totally fine. So the family says they will not be flying with their dog in the future unless they get veterinary clearance and find out more about it.
But that's a little picture of her.
It was very sad. But a happy ending. Kevin, here's one for you. Drunken seagulls prompt uptick in animal rescue calls.
All right.
British authorities say they received a surge of reports about drunken conduct in the last few weeks, but the perpetrators aren't the usual suspects. They are seagulls. RSPCA officials say they've responded to more than a dozen reports about seagulls that appeared to be drunk. Officers believe the birds have gotten into brewery waste. By the way, that's tough to say. That's like rural juror. Brewery waste.
We know what you mean.
One more time. No, one more.
Sorry, clarify.
Brewery waste.
Excellent.
Oh, that was close.
Well done.
At first, the birds look like they have botulism, but then after vomiting, most seem to recover. Sound familiar, Kevin?
It sounds like Vegas.
The birds absolutely stink of alcohol when we collect them, so now all of our vans smell like pubs.
Are they, like, flying into stuff?
No, well, I don't know about that. I don't know what the drunken behavior is, but they have asked companies that produce alcohol to be more careful about their waste to avoid affecting wildlife.
Mm.
I thought this was an interesting story. You don't get into politics much in animal stories, but did you guys see the press conference last week that Speaker of the House Paul Ryan gave?
I did not.
Mm-mm.
He is not allowed to drive because he has a security detail that takes him everywhere.
Okay.
He's the Speaker of the House. So he found out recently, as he plans to head into retirement in a couple of months, that as he put it, my car has been eaten by animals. It's just dead. He left his car at his mother's house in his hometown in Wisconsin, and he found out recently that a family of woodchucks had moved into the underbody of his Suburban.
Sweet.
He says he will be getting a new Ford truck upon retirement and get rid of the defunct Suburban. And he has to renew his driver's license as well because he hasn't been allowed to drive all this time. But have you ever heard? I mean, we've all had problems with rats.
Had rats, raccoons.
You've seen. Never heard of, maybe it's just a Wisconsin thing, but woodchucks.
Yeah.
Taking your car down, which
I bet they're so cute, though. Just chomping on all the wires.
I mean, they might be.
As long as you don't own the car, right, and you're not counting on
well,
it?
Well, it's Paul Ryan, so I think we can all kind of. Okay.
All right, and here is, if I can find it, here it is. Here is one final story. This is the Department of Environmental Conservation got a phone call last Wednesday. One of its officers responded to a call that involved a snake. Now, check this out from the news in New York.
The next time you're angry about your alarm clock going off, just remember there are worse ways that you can be woken up. Like, for example, having a 6-foot-long snake fall on top of you. It happened to this man in the village of Pulaski, Central New York.
He's in bed.
No.
What?
No, sir.
He's in bed, and from the ceiling above him comes a 6-foot snake.
And he's in a hut in the rainforest somewhere.
He's in his apartment in Central New York,
okay.
Allie.
Oh, God.
How long would it take you to process what was happening?
I don't think I still would. That's craziness.
Department of Environmental Conservation officers determined the snake had escaped its enclosure in an apartment upstairs, then made its way, Darlene, through the floor. Mm-hmm. The man was not hurt. The snake returned to its owner.
As they said at the beginning of the story, there are worse ways to wake up than just your alarm clock going off. So be grateful, I guess, that you didn't start your day like this guy did. And this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
That band is great live, and we're going to give you a chance to see Imagine Dragons. All this week, we're giving away tickets for your chance to get a pair of tickets to see Imagine Dragons at the Forum this weekend. Plus, you're qualified for the grand prize, which is a meet and greet with the band, backstage tour, signed vinyl copies of their album Evolve, and $106 to raid the merch booth. So,
dude,
all of that.
That's the best Imagine Dragons evening ever.
Right?
Hey, about 10 days ago or so, maybe even less, Sacha Baron Cohen announced to the world that he had been in secret filming a new television show for Showtime that debuted this past Sunday night. Now, Sacha Baron Cohen is the very popular English actor and comedian who was Bruno. He was Ali G. He was Borat. And now he's created a new raft of characters to go undercover and try to embarrass his subjects.
Here's what a lot of people are offended by this show already. It's only been on one time, but a lot of people are already offended. Here's what I love about it is that he sort of takes their side and then works away and gets worse and worse and worse. And then somehow he brings them along with him in that bad behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, he was doing a program called Kinder Guardians, where he was suggesting that you arm children, some of whom are in kindergarten.
Right.
If they're exceptional. Mm-hmm. Which is clearly absurd. And the amount of U.S. representatives that he got to back that was mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
All right, this is where you and I differ on the program then, Kevin.
All right.
Because you watch that and you go, this is clearly absurd. How did he get them to stand up for it? And I look at that and go, that is not at all surprising. Those people would actually legitimately, on the record, support a program like that
I don't
and
think
vote
they would.
For a program like
I don't
that.
Think
of course they would.
Kindergartners arming kindergartners.
No way. Look, part of my problem with this show, and I didn't like it nearly as much as you did,
I loved it.
Part of the problem with this show is, and I know we've heard from other people who try to make comedy in the age of Trump, is that how do you parody a real life that is weirder than anything you could fake?
Yeah, I can see that.
In comedy.
I can see that.
We live in a world, look at what happened yesterday with the president standing up and you know, being in Putin's pocket. I mean, there would have been a time 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that if a president had said the things that the President Trump said on stage in front of a worldwide audience yesterday, if he had said that at a dinner party, he would have been impeached. Just for thinking the thoughts about, I believe Russia more than I believe our own U.S. intelligence. So how do you parody something like that?
I mean, he's not doing the president, though. He's talking to different people under different guises.
But it's the same thing. You've got all sorts of representatives who are tweeting white supremacists and are just doing all sorts of insane stuff. That is exactly the type of stuff that Sacha Baron Cohen would have been able to, at one point, get them to do surreptitiously and then shock us, or Michael Moore, or whoever does that kind of comedy, and then shock us with their hypocrisy. But there's no hypocrisy anymore, and there's no shame anymore. And these people, including these lawmakers that you saw on the show Sunday night, they're willing to come out and say stuff like that, knowing they're being recorded.
Yeah.
At that point, it's not funny anymore.
All right, I didn't bring in highlights of that because
does
of
that
the
make,
whole
does
gun
that make,
conversation.
Sure. But does that make sense, though?
Absolutely.
Sure.
It's just not funny anymore if they're doing it out in the open.
I did find it funny when he was talking to Bernie Sanders, though. Mm-hmm. That cracked me up. Billy Wayne Ruddock Jr. is the name of his character, and he actually interviews Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders starts talking about the 1%, the 99%, and then Sacha Baron Cohen just starts going crazy with ridiculously stupid math that doesn't make any sense and doubling down on it. And Bernie Sanders is just trying to understand how even what he's saying with his math.
What America is supposed to be about is the land of opportunity.
Okay.
But what we have now, we have a situation where the top 0.1% now owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%.
Rather than complain about the 1% or the 0.1%, why not make the rest of America and put them into the 1%.
Okay, now that's insane, clearly.
But just move them over, right?
But now you see Bernie Sanders and his mind is starting to work like, he can't be suggesting that you just put them all together into the 1%, because that's nonsense. So he can't be suggesting that.
Right.
And he tries to understand.
Well, if you put everybody into the 1%, there wouldn't be the 1%.
No, it still would be.
No, it wouldn't be.
If I can,
the rest of the population, by definition, they're not in the 1% if they're the rest of the population.
This is simple math. If you have 1% here, the 1%, you have 99.
Now he's showing him a breakdown on paper that looks pretty...
I was trying to follow it.
Yeah.
And if you move the 9 in there, you have 19. And then you move the other 9 there.
Well,
if you believe in equality, why not have 100% of people in the 1%? These aren't my figures. This is the International Institute of Scientific Truth and Knowledge.
He pulls out a piece of paper that says that those words on it.
What is your proposal, Lee?
That you keep the 1%, but you move the 99% into the 1%. The 99% are in the 1%.
Billy, I don't know what you're talking about. I really don't.
Come on.
He was being very patient with him.
He really was. And then the artist that got out, I just wanted to play a clip of that because this is a character that he has named Ricky Sherman, and he's an ex-con. He just got out of prison. And he paints with his poop. That's his art.
And other fluids.
Correct, yes. Yeah. That's his art. So anything he can make,
he'll use.
So he goes to a Laguna Beach art gallery, and he talks to the head of the Laguna Beach art gallery. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to figure out what he's talking about. He starts to show her pictures. And then partway through, he says, I'm going to go make one for you. Mm-hmm. And she's also trying, like Bernie was, being to be really patient and understanding of what this guy's trying to do.
That's pretty spot on.
So he brings it back, and he shows it to her, and it looks pretty much like her.
That's pretty spot on. I feel like I'm looking in the mirror, but except for the medium.
Except for the medium, which she doesn't like because it's poop.
I've even got a glow in my eye.
Yeah, that's some of the...
Okay, so that's a different bodily fluid.
This brush here, I'm actually collecting.
Now, he shows her a brush, and listen to what it is.
Pubes from different artists.
It's a brush made out of pubes.
Mm-hmm.
From different artists. I sense you're not liking this, Pete.
No. No, I'm not.
All right, let's continue.
Oh, wow.
But Banksy actually sent some. It's the really dark brown stuff.
Are you asking me for a sample?
I'll be honored. I'll be completely flattered. And the public ears
okay,
that are on
I'll,
there.
I'll give you one, sure. So, let's try to get a good one here.
See, no.
You're not buying that.
Absolutely. Well, she's doing it. She's cutting her pubic hair on camera.
She was so...
I mean, she wasn't showing. She had her back to the camera.
She was completely in on it.
You think so? This one,
I was like, come on. Absolutely. She turns her back to the camera, lifts up her dress, and starts yanking out pubes. Come on.
I mean,
oh,
if this
was... so generous.
That's so generous.
Wait a minute.
I might be able to get a little better. Let me try here.
Right. She wasn't happy with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let me get a better
this
one.
Six
here we go.
Beauty.
Here's a nice...
There
really
you go.
Appreciate you doing that.
Come on.
I mean, if this were a Christopher Guest movie, you might go, okay, they're trying to make a parody of the pretentious art scene where nothing's
you
bad.
You don't think Sacha Baron Cohen is doing that?
Not the exact same thing? If he is, it's being lost on the fact that the whole thing is just fake. You know what I mean? Under the guise of undercover journalism. It just didn't sit with me at all. I want it to be real. I know you do.
And I love it.
Okay.
And it's Sacha Baron Cohen, Who is America? And that is on when? Saturday? Sunday?
Sunday night.
Sunday night, Showtime.
On Showtime. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. Thursday and Friday of this week, we're going to be broadcasting from Comic-Con.
What?
Come on. You have a strong start.
Oh, man.
Such a strong start.
And then I laughed and I ruined it.
In the House of Blues in San Diego.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yes, and we would like you to be there to join us, not just for the broadcast if you care to, but for all the fun in San Diego with a one-day pass. We're going to be looking for you in about an hour from right now. What's the competition today, Kevin?
It is Yo Comic-Con Raps.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. So you're going to rap about why you need to be at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go head-to-head against other listeners. And if you lose, you get hung up on.
Oh, that's right.
No. And then the winner moves on.
Okay.
Yep. So the best rapper about his or her Comic-Con needs is going to win the tickets to Comic-Con, which, of course, are sold out. So that'll be coming up in about an hour from right now on the Kevin Bean Show. We wanted to give you a heads up so you can start thinking about it, getting your rap together. So hang on for that in the 7 o'clock hour. First, though, Allie's here with what's happening on a Tuesday.
So we're like the Baker Brothers, right?
I mean, sure.
Essentially, yeah.
This roll call.
Sure, that's us.
Baker Boys?
Yeah.
I said Baker Brothers.
You did.
That's how I think of them, as family. Baker Brothers.
The Baker Brothers.
What if they were on some totally different station in Fresno? What? Guys, soccer, right?
Right.
I don't know what's happening with me. I'm caring about soccer stories. I went to a soccer game over vacation.
Allie texted me from a soccer game. I was like, this is a whole new world.
It's insane. I've made arrangements with a friend to see a soccer game here when she visits.
All right.
I don't know what's happening, but I think it's stories like
just
this.
In time for the World Cup.
But maybe what happened was I caught the fever, and the only cure is more football.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we're only, Kevin, when is the Women's World Cup? Isn't that just next year?
Yeah, next year.
So
and
next
that's
year
better. Because they're better.
The women are well, number one most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah, at least the U.S. team is better.
Right.
But you can already start counting down for that. I bet you'll enjoy that.
Okay. Yeah, that's in France.
All right, I'm in.
All right.
Well, speaking of France, of course, they won the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And that 19-year-old phenom, Mbappé.
Mbappé?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mbappé.
Yep.
19 years old. Scored 4 goals during the World Cup.
He's, you know how 19-year-olds have immense promise?
Sure.
And you go, in 5 or 10 years, this guy might be conquering the world.
Right.
This guy is already performing at that level. He doesn't have promise. He's performing at the highest level. He's a superstar now.
Well,
it's insane.
He also apparently has a heart of gold because he has decided that he is going to donate his World Cup winnings to a charity that gives free sports instruction to hospitalized and disabled children in sports.
Astonishing! This is not just a dream. It's a wet dream of orgasmic proportions.
Well, I agree with that guy.
One way to look at it, yeah. He has supported this youth organization since 2017. And here's the part that I love in this article. After talking with his folks, so he talked it over with his parents, and then he decided that he was going to put all of his money back into this organization.
Mm-hmm.
He reportedly received a bonus of about $350,000 after France won the tournament. That, combined with earning about $23,000 per game, means that his entire winnings are almost over $500,000 that he's giving away to this
charity.
That's
amazing.
So,
Good for him.
Come on. Amazing.
Heroic stuff.
Heroic stuff indeed.
Like Betamax. You do not make them like him anymore.
It's true.
To put this in relation, France won the World Cup in 1998.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mbappe was not born yet.
Oh, gosh. That's crazy.
So he's crazy, and he's a superstar, and he's also got a heart of gold. That's awesome.
He sure does.
That's great.
So USA Today, I think, was the one that translated all of this from the French newspaper. And they posted this, and people were like, oh, that's amazing. What a great kid. Bean, your English fans, immediately. You know, English teams have been doing this for years, blah, blah, blah. Like, all these people, like, we do it, too. We do it. And people are like, let the kid have a moment.
He could be good, too.
You can be good.
In England, sure.
But then one Twitter user was like, oh, really? How much were those World Cup winnings back then? What did he donate, £12? And I was like, boom, nailed it. Oh, but Mbappe, I love him. Just a good kid, right? I'm going to root for him in the next one.
In the next World Cup?
Yeah. That's what? 4 years?
4 years.
And yeah, he'll already be 23, though, Kevin. He'll be pretty washed up by his second World Cup.
He plays for Paris Saint-Germain, a Paris team, so if you want to watch him in this upcoming season.
I don't know.
As electrifying as a hairdryer thrown into a hot tub, my friend.
Okay, is that real? Is that a real soccer?
Oh, yeah, that's what's his name? Hudson?
Ray Hudson.
Ray Hudson, yeah. He's an announced soccer announcer.
Oh, my God, I love him.
Oh, he's the best.
Oh, he's the best.
I thought that was a joke. That's real.
It's real. It's a real announcer.
Oh, he's the best.
You got to get on YouTube. There's lots and lots of Ray Hudson on
there. Magnificent! How'd you like them apples? He would make Barbara Walters cry. Ingenious! It's absolute perfection. It is absolute genius. As clean as a whistle. As good as it gets.
Wonderful.
He's the best.
Who does he announce for?
Well, he does a lot of La Liga, so Spain. He does a lot of different games. So every time I watch a Barcelona game, he's pretty much the color commentator.
Oh, my God.
And he's amazing.
I will watch just for
him.
He's
the best.
That is stunning. Well, Bean, don't think that I forgot that it's World Emoji Day.
Okay,
coming up,
I'm very excited.
We're going to discuss this. He said, "Allie, can I send you an article on the new emojis?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Good, because I'm real excited about this." And I said, "All right, absolutely."
There are some emojis coming out.
You and I are very different.
There's some new emojis in the next iOS updates and Android as well.
You're
going to be stunned that we haven't already had. They're so good.
Okay, all
they're
right.
They're essential
just
emojis.
Save it.
Like, how have we been able to
save
write anything
it
without these emojis?
You just said they're essential emojis.
They are essential.
You're the best.
Absolute pure genius. Fabulous. Stand up and applaud. This one is top of the charts. Ah, that is exquisite. That is orgasmic, Mozart-like. It's just pure perfection. Beautiful. All the chemicals are bubbling, and all the equation comes out right in the end.
He loves the emojis as well.
I need to meet him. We need to fly him out here.
Look up Ray Hudson on YouTube.
Oh, don't think I'm not immediately.
Be hundreds of videos.
All right, some birthdays for you. Donald Sutherland, David Hasselhoff, Billy Lord, and Luke Bryan. And that's what's happening.
And again, a reminder, in about 45 minutes or so, we'll be looking for your wraps. You can wrap your way into San Diego Comic-Con to join us, Kevin and Bean, down there this week. We're going to be looking for your song/rap coming up just after 8. I mean, it has to be a rap, but it can be about anything that you want that's Comic-Con related. Right?
Correct, yes.
That's coming up. Hey, Muggs, how are you?
Hi, Beaner, Kevin, Allie. How's everybody doing today?
Great to see you, sir. That was the fakest enthusiasm
right?
I've ever heard from you.
Sorry, hi, Chip. I forgot.
Chip,
I can't
just
see
him
her
off.
I can't see her.
I love every time Muggs comes in with new tape from his bar. Where is it you've been hanging out these days in the Valley, Muggs?
The good old O'Grady's in Granada Hills, California, IA.
Man, look, I'm not a drinking man.
But you like these people, don't you?
I feel like I want to go hang out with them.
You
I
should.
Really do.
Come down one day. That'd be great.
It's Muggs and his best friends, I'll tell you. And you recently caught up with them on a hot-button topic that kind of broke while we were on vacation.
Yeah.
And you got some opinions on Kobe Bryant, arguably
yes,
the greatest basketball player of all time. Coming to the Lakers.
Nope, LeBron. LeBron James.
I'm sorry.
Kobe's coming back?
No, he's not.
LeBron James. Coming to arguably the greatest basketball franchise of all time, the Los Angeles Lakers. That's a marriage made in heaven. Who couldn't be happy about that? Let's find out.
It's time for Cheers with Muggs.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
All right, so you asked people what they thought about LeBron James coming to the L.A. Lakers.
Yeah, I wanted to get their vibes on how they were feeling. Hey, Jimmy, what do you think of LeBron James coming to the Lakers?
Yeah, LeBron James is hopefully we build the team around him. And maybe in 3 years or 2 years, we'll get a nice parade going on.
I'm so excited. I love LeBron James. I think it's going to be fantastic for the Lakers. I love it.
You think they're going to get a championship in the first year?
Yes.
Great question.
I think he's a good organizer. I think he's a good team player organizer. I think he is.
It's LeBron James, man. L.A., you know, we're putting it down. Mm. It's Los Angeles.
Now, I think he goes to whatever team is going to get him the most rings or pennants or championships, and that's it.
He's coming to the Lakers.
He can bring a championship to the Lakers the first year he's on the team?
Yeah. That's kind of his thing, right? He does championships. That's LeBron. You sign LeBron up and you got a championship. Yeah.
Chris, what are your thoughts on LeBron James coming to the Lakers?
At first, I actually didn't really like it, but you know what? It's going to bring some excitement. Basketball back to L.A. is a good thing.
Do you think he's going to bring a championship back the first year he's on the team?
Absolutely not. They're terrible.
That guy had the best answer, actually.
All right. Can I start by asking, because, again, we weren't on when this news broke, how do we feel about LeBron as a hashtag?
No.
Don't care. I'm excited.
But you can hate the hashtag,
I'm
though,
fine
can't
with
you?
It. I'm okay. fine with it.
What are the – Kevin, you're a Lakers fan, yeah, lifelong. What are the realistic expectations of Kobe and this bizarre collection of players?
And by Kobe, you mean LeBron.
Again, I do, yes. I very much mean LeBron. What are your expectations with the knowing the players that they've surrounded him
with? Oh, you mean the first year?
Yes.
They're going to be terrible. I mean, LeBron makes them a lot better. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, he had a decent team in Cleveland and couldn't get – really anywhere near beating the Warriors.
Mm-hmm. So he got all the way to multiple games into the NBA Finals, though. That's a pretty successful season.
Right, but you can't do that by yourself anymore. If this is a league where you cannot, it doesn't matter how good you are, you have to have at least one other star. That's why Kobe and Shaq worked, because there were two stars. And if you have two stars, maybe you can do it. But then you look at the Warriors and they have three, four stars. So it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a harder hill to climb being now in the West. And having to play the Warriors all the time.
Right. But I think the Lakers are going to have to make more moves, obviously, to surround him with a better team.
What about all these people? And I've, accidentally said Kobe several times because he's on my brain right now. Because a lot of these people who have not been excited about LeBron coming are just hanging on to their love for the Mamba. What's that about?
Yeah,
he's not playing anymore. It seems like if you're a Kobe fan, you should be a Lakers fan.
I don't understand that. I don't understand. Look, I loved Kobe, too, but he's not playing.
Yeah.
And the Lakers have been bad. So how can you be upset about the best player in the league coming to your team?
Do they think that somehow if LeBron comes here and succeeds, it tarnishes Kobe's legacy in some way?
Maybe they're worried that LeBron might be considered the best Laker of, I don't know. I don't understand because you have to be a straight Kobe fan and not a Laker fan to think that way. If you're a Laker fan, I assume it's all good.
Right.
Why wouldn't you be happy to get LeBron James? Why wouldn't any team in the NBA be thrilled?
Sure.
Well, those are the people we're looking for then. We're looking for people who consider themselves Lakers fans, but they are not happy about LeBron James coming to town at 1-800-520-1067. No matter how well LeBron does or doesn't do, that doesn't take away Kobe's five rings, though. I mean, he already has left his mark on the franchise.
Agreed.
That's how I look at it.
I agree, but it just seems like the Kobe fans really want to make sure that Kobe's remembered as the greatest Laker. By the way, having said, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a Laker, there's a lot of people in that line that could actually be considered. Vlade Divac, who's the worst, who I hated.
For my money, by the way, and again, we're taking your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067, and I don't know if this stands up to stats, but in my mind, Kareem is the ultimate Laker.
Agreed. And Magic's way up
and
there.
And Magic would be number two for me.
So I don't, and Kobe's great as well. I mean, I liked all of them. Why wouldn't you like all Lakers that are successful?
What about that Jerry West guy? Was
he was okay.
Good?
I hear he was good, too.
All right.
Muggs, what do you think? Your level of excitement of LeBron coming to town?
Well, I think... Honestly,
were you a Laker fan?
I fell out in love. I fell out of love with basketball ever since the Supersonics left Seattle. You know what I mean, Bean?
Yes, but why? Why would you even say that? About that?
No, I think it's a money grab. I really do. I think it's just an excuse to raise ticket prices, merch prices, and all the above.
Because they've lost so much money over the last couple of years.
I mean, have you been to a home game
last
season?
I mean, it really has not been exciting.
Yeah.
But do you think LeBron for one second would come here under those circumstances? That they didn't make promises to LeBron that he would think that he could win championships here? Makes no sense otherwise.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. It remains to be seen. I think there's a lot of expectation on him. That's for damn sure.
Don't you think
that's
if
some good
LeBron's
input. Thank you.
Number one thing was to win championships,
right,
you would go to a 76ers or a Celtics or even a Rockets? I think he has other motives for coming to L.A.
That's
His
very possible.
His family's here. He wants to be in the entertainment business.
That's very possible.
I think he's winding down his career, and he's like, let's just end it out there.
But I don't think he would come here if meeting with Magic Johnson. Magic was like, look,
we got nothing.
We're not going to be any good. Just be the star for a while so we can recoup some of our money. I think they had to promise him a lot of stuff that they have to still come through on.
Right.
And really make a serious charge for a cup, for a championship, which is finally what the Lakers were all about. It's finally getting back to that. Finally.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to know what's going on in his head, his reasons as well. But if you've got your theories and how you feel about it, you're not excited about the match of LeBron and the Lakers, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Quick break. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
Instead of the 1975, let's talk to Mike in Glendora. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, thank you. You a Laker fan?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Laker fan, but I mean, I used to watch basketball when it's on. And, you know,
I love your phone, man. I love it. Seriously, I want to buy your phone. How much to buy your cell phone off of you?
Sorry about that, guys.
It's just, it's not usable.
I mean, if we wanted to hear you, this would not be effective.
Sorry about that, guys.
All right, no worries. Get another phone. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take your calls next.
And you better have a new phone by then. We are talking about LeBron James as a Laker. He's going to be wearing number 23 when he starts later this year, playing for Los Angeles, and not everybody is pleased about it, even some people who are Lakers fans. What's up with that? Let's get to Tony. He's in Corona, been patiently waiting on line three. Good morning, Tony.
Morning, guys. Popo's out. First off, real quick, I've been hating this guy for the past 15 years.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me ask a question. Is it because you hate him as a player or because he's not a Laker and he's against us?
I guess it's more that he was. I mean, I just hate him as a player in general. His whole, you know, the going from team to team, it's always just bugged me. He's rubbed me the wrong way, I guess, if that's even something.
I mean, sure.
At the end of the day, now that he's on my team, how am I supposed to – what kind of a sports fan would that make me if I root for somebody that I've been ripping for 15 years?
Well, it would mean that you're putting your team above your feelings of one player.
Yeah,
which
it would
makes
actually make you a sports fan.
Total sense. You're a Laker fan, right?
I am a Laker fan.
Okay, so if the best player in the league – if the best player in the league comes to the team and you previously hated him – how does that just change your attitude on him?
It sounds like you don't actually like sports. You just like individual players.
No, that's wrong. I definitely love sports. How would you feel if Magic went to the Celtics? Do you think that would you be as receiving when Magic was playing? If you were a Celtics fan and he came to your team after he did what he did as a Laker? No way. Those people would hate him too.
Oh, hell no.
No,
they'd be like, woo!
I think you jump on the bandwagon.
Absolutely.
I really do. What if Larry Bird, for example, during those years came to the Lakers? I hated Larry Bird. Hated him.
Right.
That'd be tough.
All right, let me put it in other terms, Kevin. Let's bring it to the present here.
All right.
You wake up tomorrow morning and the news is shocks the hockey world that Corey Perry is now a Los Angeles King.
Yeah.
How do you handle that?
I'm a Kings fan. So I root for everyone else.
And all of a sudden.
But wait a minute.
You still won't like Corey Perry?
But hold on, Bean. Corey Perry is not the hockey's answer to LeBron James.
No, he's not.
LeBron James is the man.
Right, but you want to root for whoever your team puts on the field or on the ice, that's what I'm saying. So you would root for Corey Perry.
I would root for the Lakers. Like, there are many Lakers, including Vlade Divac, who I hated, even though I was a Laker fan, because I thought he flopped a lot. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody would come near him, he turned into a soccer player and just dove to the floor so he could get a call. Mm-hmm. I hated that about him. He couldn't make free throws. I hated that.
But I still supported
the Lakers.
Speaking of diving, Tony, I want you to hang on for this and get your reaction as well as the room from the 626. I'm a Lakers fan, win or lose. It's just when LeBron starts to cry or tries to fake the fouls, I don't think the Lakers need that style of playing. Kobe never faked it. I guarantee you LeBron will. What do you think about that? I mean, at this point, it seems to be anyone who's critical of Kobe's playing style is missing the bigger picture. Whatever negatives you're going to get with Kobe, you're going to get 99% positive out of it.
I mean, honestly, I feel like Kobe was upset with the refs a lot as well. I think players who are the best in the league get fouled more than anyone. Because how can you stop Kobe other than fouling him?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you foul him more than most. And he complained a lot about that. And yet I was still a Kobe fan. Same thing with LeBron. I feel like he gets probably fouled every play. He's going to complain some. But
I feel like Tony's going to come around.
Tony? What if...
Go ahead, guys.
What if the Lakers win a championship in year three? Let's say 3 years from now.
Oh, my God.
You'll have some time to get used to him?
I'm definitely on your side when it comes to I'm a Laker fan. That's how, you know, diehard I am.
Okay.
You want him to win.
I'm going to have to root for this guy, but is it legal for me to still hate him even though he's on my team?
It is illegal.
I mean, I don't know if it's legal or not. I would think that you'll come around because when he starts doing good things and it benefits the Lakers, I feel like that'll be a pretty easy transition for you.
I don't know. Well, you guys should call Flea and ask him.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
We should call Flea. Hey, you call us a few weeks into the season and tell us how you're feeling, okay?
I definitely will, man. And like I said, I could be the Lakers-LeBron update guy if you want. But
all right. Sounds good, Tony. Thank you. Hey, let's do one more real quick. I know we're out of time, but Ashley in Tustin has a real quick point on line four, please.
All right. Hey, Ashley.
Hey, I am just not happy about this at all. I'm a lifelong Laker fan.
Okay.
I'm born a Laker fan, and I'm just so disappointed
because
that LeBron is in L.A.
Because
he doesn't care about the Lakers. He's only here to maybe win a ring and just retire and go off into the sunset. I think
okay, but if he wins a ring, don't you win a ring as a Lakers fan? Don't you get to see the team you love win a championship, and that makes you happy?
It does, but it just feels like it's not sincere. I feel like it's like when...
It's been since 2003. I don't care if it's sincere. Oh, yeah, Karl Malone joining was BS, but...
Yes, that's what it feels
but
like.
But hold on,
like
it's not Karl Malone, though, because Karl Malone wasn't at the very peak of his powers and wasn't the best player in the NBA when he came to the Lakers. So that was his chance to try and cash in and get a championship. But this is a guy who would come and help win a championship.
Maybe, possibly.
We'll okay.
I don't believe
All right, now everybody's getting homework today, Ashley. We want you to call us from the championship parade whenever it happens, okay? And tell us how you're feeling. All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
About 50 minutes from right now, we're going to be looking for you to call in. We'll be screening calls to have you wrap your way into San Diego's Comic-Con. So start thinking about what you want to tell us. About 15 minutes from right now on K-Rock.
Kind of a rap battle like the Baker Brothers.
It's Baker Boys, you idiot. Baker Boys.
I heard a lady say Baker Brothers.
I did too.
How are you, King?
Good, man. Especially after that last call-in topic. Woo.
Yeah, hey, you're an idiot. Okay, let's talk about something else.
You're fans, man.
You would love it if LeBron came to the Clippers.
Oh,
right?
My God. I wished it.
Don't be
okay,
ridiculous.
All right. Dave is here because we have an amazing assortment of videos. Ugh. We've been off for a while, so there's so much great stuff that has
come
out.
There are 300 videos on this internet
roundup. It's a big roundup. Yeah, you go to krock.com or kevinb.com right now if you want to play the home game. Let's get into it, shall we?
Wake up! And watch the internet roundup!
Yeah. I mean, you can skip some of it. You don't need the Indian guy who cut off his fingernails that he's been growing since he was six. You don't need that video, but it's weird, I'll tell you that.
That is weird.
There's some that I really love, and Dave, has Muggs done the In My Feelings challenge yet?
No, and I hope he doesn't.
Oh, it's the worst.
Why? Why do you hate it so much? It's just a funny dance.
There's people who do it well, like the girl who was dancing outside her car, which was pretty mm-hmm. funny.
Right.
And then that's it. That's all you need. That one person. And then now it's
but
it
Muggs
needs to
be over. But Muggs does what everyone else does good. Muggs does it poorly. That's his job.
I'm sorry, but now we're getting emails from our bosses with, hey, look at the finance people. Now we're doing it.
I was like, oh no, I didn't get that email.
Oh, my God. I got to show it to you. Oh, boy.
I didn't know it had gotten to white people yet. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Well, it's a guy named Shiggy, he's a comedian, YouTube guy. He's the guy who kind of started it, right? He's the one
yes,
who made
he
it famous.
Put a dance up to that song. Yeah,
did a funny dance to the Drake song. Here's a little bit of the song. First of all, if you don't know it, and it's another great Drake song from his Scorpion album. And Will Smith has made a video. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is there anybody who's starting to get a little bit of a feeling from Will Smith that he is like 55 years old? And has people now that are saying, Will, you got to start doing some viral videos.
No, I didn't get that idea at all. I thought he's getting bored.
Yeah, Will is having fun with social media right now, and
is
I'm
he?
Enjoying it.
I think
I
so.
Really I really like his
I
channel.
Love, I loved it.
Yeah. Is there no age at which it's too old to be doing the Shiggy?
That's
no,
I guess he's my Will question Smith. Is.
But did you see what he did?
Oh, yeah, he climbed onto the top of a bridge over the Danube River in Budapest. And did it up there. I mean, it was pretty crazy looking, but I just feel like he was willing to risk his life for a dumb video.
Yeah,
it was
great.
It was
scary.
Allie, your thoughts?
I love Will Smith, and the fact that you think he's 55 disturbs me. The man isn't even 50 yet. Let him live.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, check out the video.
Hold up.
No.
Do not
acknowledge
just
it.
Held
no.
Up a sign that said, you go, get Shiggy with it,
you
and
go
that
straight
is
to
excellent,
hell.
Chip, and I'm high-fiving you.
No.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
Stop. Turn off
get
the mic.
Get Shiggy with it.
Thank you.
You guys are way too happy about that.
There is a new NBC television show coming up that I will not watch, although I love desperately both of the stars. Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman have
a show.
Sounds
like a good decision, then. We love both of them to not watch it.
They have a show about making crafts,
I cannot wait.
But don't you think it'll be funny because
of
them?
It will be amazing.
I wouldn't watch a show about crafts, but you look at them and you go, that's going to be great.
Going to be the best.
I can't wait for your review.
Is it a scripted comedy, Allie, or is it a reality show where they're given a job and they have to kind of make something their own?
It's a competition series. Food Network type of thing with cakes, but
not for
with
me.
Crafts.
But
These two, right?
That's
of the funniest human beings on the face of the earth.
So here's Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman, who obviously were amazing together in Parks and Recreation, and they're doing a pun off as they promote their new craft show.
I'm getting sick of your scrap.
No way, Crochet.
Don't be spoolish.
You're being a real tassel hole.
Why don't you relax and untwine?
Life's a stitch, and then you die.
I just want a needle point out to you. This conversation makes me want to lay down and DIY. How do you like these scissors all up in your face? Decoupage.
Started strong.
All right, maybe I'm in a little bit.
Oh, I love them so much.
Come on, dude. Just because of who it is, I think you'll watch.
Maybe I'm in a little bit. All right, I'm going to be honest. This is my favorite video on the Roundup this week. I love it so much. There has been, first of all, stop it, white people, first of all. There has
with
been
what? Anything in particular?
Yes.
Okay.
This summer, every day, there's another dumb white person calling the police because a black person is doing something that he doesn't like.
No.
If a black person is in the pool or having a barbecue or delivering a newspaper or going door-to-door canvassing as a politician, white people are calling 911 and saying, there's a black guy in my neighborhood.
Wait. That guy was wearing socks in his pool, though. Come on.
There were lots of other people wearing lots of other clothes in that pool. He was the only one who was asked to leave.
I mean, with you. Stop it, white people.
Stop it. Allie, I know you've been frustrated by this as well.
It's insanity.
It is crazy what's going on. Well, now there is a product that will help white people just like that with it.
Hi, fellow white people. Are you having a sad because that family's enjoying a picnic in the park while being black? Did that customer in front of you just speak a language that makes you irrationally angry? Well, this is a great time to try Mind Your Own Business. With Mind Your Own Business, you'll be able to grow the up and act like a decent human being. Our patented technology allows you to pull your head out of your ass and see the world beyond the brim of your MAGA hat.
Hi, honey. I saw some black people at the Starbucks today.
Did you mind your own business?
I sure did.
Stop bothering those nice people today with Mind Your Own Business.
Side effects may include not harassing people, no one getting arrested or murdered by police, a general sense of well-being for people of color, a lack of internet fame, and or trolling and coexistence. Please consult your doctor if you are still a piece of after minding your own business, as the symptoms may be a result of a deeper problem and require further treatment.
Now available at Anthropology and Whole Foods.
A certain number of white people in this country need to be forced to watch that video. And finally, okay. Jimmy Kimmel is the best late night host there is. He had a video not long ago where he asked people on the street out in front of a studio in Hollywood to name a book. Any book.
Right.
Name one book.
And it was shocking, including the Bible, that people couldn't come up with a single book.
Well, this time they're asking people, as they look at a map of the world, to name any country. Name one country on this map and point to it. Let's see how that
goes. Can you name any country on this map?
Yeah. Africa?
That's a continent.
Oh, God.
Can you name any countries in Africa?
God, no. Who knows stuff like that?
Greenland or Iceland or something?
That's Alaska. Where's America?
I would say this big one, but I'm probably wrong.
You're definitely wrong.
Okay. Honduras is... Here. Somewhere here.
Can you name any country in Europe?
Is this one Europe?
No.
This one?
No. Can you name a single country in Africa?
Was this Africa?
No, again, that's South America.
No idea.
Can you name a country in South America?
Okay, this is South America.
Yes, can you name a country in it?
No, I can't.
Did you go to high school?
Yes.
Did you go to college?
Yeah, that's a sad part.
We have the country we deserve, you guys. KROQ.com or KevinDeVine.com. It's a brand new Kevin DeVine Internet Roundup.
Wake up! And watch the Internet Roundup!
Yeah!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Allie.
Yeah.
Just occurred to me.
Yeah.
Kevin never heard the Armenian comedian's version of Africa.
I didn't. That's true.
We have to play that segment for you tomorrow.
I was playing poker in Vegas, and Bean texted me. He's like, Armenian comedian best ever.
It was so shocking how much we all loved it and didn't want to murder him.
Awesome. So didn't want to murder him. Segment?
No.
No.
Okay. It was a one-off.
Please make a note. Tomorrow, we want to play for you the segment with Sam debuting his version of Africa.
If you have to, I'm in.
No, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
I'm the only one that loves Sam.
Hey, ahead of what's happening, we're going to open up the phone lines right now for you at 1-800-520-1067. We are giving away a one-day pass to the San Diego Comic-Con at the Convention Center this weekend. Don't forget the Kevin and Bean Show is going to be broadcasting live from the House of Blues San Diego Thursday and Friday. They have the phone number, Kevin. What are they looking to do with it?
They are going to call at 1-800-520-1067 with a wrap about why they need to be at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we're going to have a competition where you rap, and then somebody raps after you, and if yours wasn't as good, you get hung up on. Then the reigning champ moves on.
All right.
You kill it and nobody's as good, you stay on hold the whole time and you win.
Up.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So the best rapper wins passes to the sold-out San Diego Comic-Con going on at the Convention Center this week. And call right now, 1-800-520-1067. All I'm really thinking about is that segment tomorrow now, though.
Right? Same.
First, though, here's Allie.
Well, today, of course, as everyone knows, because you have it circled in your calendar, iCal probably alerted you this morning when you woke up.
What?
It is World Emoji Day, people.
Yay!
The kids love it.
And what does that mean to me?
Nothing, really.
Okay.
But Apple did preview some of its 70 new emojis just yesterday. Just getting a jump. Really,
okay.
On World Emoji Day. Here's the thing. These new emojis don't come out until later this year iOS update.
Which is cruel, by the way.
Why is it Emoji Day, then? Isn't the day it comes out Emoji Day?
No.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
It's just not.
Okay.
It is not. However, some new emojis that apparently Bean says are essential and can't believe they're not out already.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen Bean use an emoji? Because I don't think I have.
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
He texts emojis. Yes, for sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
I'm an emoji fan. I mean, who isn't?
He's an emojiologist.
I mean, I don't really care that much about emojis, but I don't hate.
All right. Well, here's the thing. There's new hairstyles. There are new curly hair, red hair, gray hair, and no hair options.
Finally.
Right?
Right?
Mugs, you listen.
However, this might be really upsetting to some redheads out there.
Okay.
There is no redhead bride, which is just rude, and no redhead runner. So if you're a redhead thinking, finally, my time is here, you apparently don't do things like run or get married.
Well, nobody wants to marry a ginger, for starters,
that
okay?
That is hurtful.
But secondarily, you can't cover everything in life.
No, but isn't it shocking? Look, I know redheads are only like, 10 or 12% or whatever it is, but isn't it shocking that it took this long for them to get a redheaded emoji?
It's kind of insane.
Right? Sure. How about a lobster, though?
All right,
here's
the thing.
How excited can you be about a lobster emoji?
To be honest, I wish there was a lobster emoji when
Thank
I was just
you.
In Maine because I ate my body weight in lobster.
Okay.
And I wanted to text that. And then you can't text a crab. People would be like, but I thought you were eating lobster. None of this is adding up, Allie. You're right. I felt like a
Are
liar.
Are you really in Maine? Is this really
right?
Allie?
Exactly my point. So here are the new different animals. There's a parrot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kangaroo.
Finally.
There's a lobster.
Right.
And there's a peacock.
As there should be.
Okay. How about different faces? There's finally a face that lets you know, hey, I'm really cold right now. It's a blue face with a little bit of what looks like frozen saliva coming off.
That's
so
not
you
frozen
are chilly.
Saliva.
Oh, no.
That is the one that I most was stunned they didn't have on the original emoji panel.
That
honestly.
One?
The freezing cold one, when you think about how often people can use it, not only just in parts of the country where they get massive blizzards, but just, you know, people sitting in super cold air conditioning or something like that. Sometimes you need to express that. Now we have an emoji.
There's no way to do that in words.
That's right.
Exactly.
I agree.
I don't know what they mean by I'm so freezing. It feels like I'm blue and there's...
frozen stuff on my face.
How about that new cupcake emoji? Is that beautiful or what?
There's a cupcake emoji and a mooncake emoji.
Dean just said, is that beautiful or what?
He did, and to be honest, it is beautiful.
It is,
it's got
yes.
white frosting and rainbow sprinkles.
That's
white
not frosting.
I hate all of you so much. There is a mango.
Okay.
Mango say no. Do you remember that from SNL?
Sure.
All right. There's also a bunch of lettuce. I mean, we have not.
Oh,
and
there's
this is
lettuce.
Like, this is like romaine,
oh,
though,
my God,
for
this is so
long.
Good.
I'm like, oh, I'd love to post lettuce, but it's not iceberg. It's more romaine. So, Bean, you're excited.
I'm very excited, and we've only seen, what, 20 or so, and there's 50 more we haven't even seen yet. So this is just the beginning.
All right, your level of excitement over these.
Well, we needed it.
1 to 10.
We needed it.
1 to 10.
Oh, I'm not ridiculous. 9?
Because I'm a 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the lobster pushed me up to a 3.
Okay.
Super
okay.
excited. Plus, when my face turns blue and I've got...
Mm-hmm.
I'll finally be able to text that.
Right.
Some birthdays for you. Donald Sutherland, Billy Lord, Luke Bryan, and quite frankly, one of the greatest men ever.
Take it easy.
David Hasselhoff.
No? This is a mess.
It is. And that's what's happening.
Is this officially a battle rap or no?
I mean, I would consider it a battle rap,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, on the line, a pair of one-day passes to San Diego Comic-Con at the San Diego Convention Center happening this weekend. The Kevin Bean Show broadcasting live from the House of Blues, San Diego, Thursday and Friday, by the way, comic-con.org. I can't wait to hear Omar's big intro for this.
This is Comic-Con Raps, that's where it's at. Come on, come on, just don't be whack. Make sure your flow is nice and tight. Get out your mom's basement, nerd, for one night. So spit. Step up to the mic, let's have some fun. Yo, Comic-Con Raps!
All right.
I mean, I think he would lose.
I could use fewer gunshots, too. If we hear somebody better than you, you're gone.
Well, here's
right?
what happens. Most of the time we put 8 people on hold, and then it's sort of like, I don't remember Victor Rubin, who was, I can't remember, so we do a drawing.
Right.
This particular time, as soon as you get beat, you get hung up on.
Okay.
So just
I
know
like
that
it.
Going in. All right.
All right. Let's try it. Let's just start with line one and work from there. We'll get Tonio on from Ontario. He'll get us started now. Tony is going to be in it until somebody is better than him.
All right, Tony.
All right.
Yo, what's up?
Talking about Comic-Con. You got a rap for us?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Hit me up with tickets to Comic-Con. I want to go so bad it blows my mind. Every year I try, it ends up a fail. DC Universe is waving its tails. Kevin and Bean, don't be so mean. Walmart has a grip of superhero shirts to be seen. Yeah, boy.
All right,
Yo, Comic-Con Raps!
I'm going to deduct some points at the end for the yo boy, but I did appreciate that you rhymed Comic-Con with mind. That was a good rhyme. All right, but so far you're the best one we've heard, Tony, so please hang on.
All right, now if Victor is better, then we're going to hang up on Tony. Victor, hi.
I'm sorry to say, it's a very painful way to go.
Hi, Victor.
Yeah, hello.
All right, you got a rap for us for Comic-Con?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
Gonna win those tickets to Comic-Con. Better call me John, trying to planet Mars. Spitting these bars, doing it hard like the fast speed force. Let me run my course. Call me Drax, giving purpose to kill. Wanna go to Comic-Con, just with the throw. Call me Batman, cause that's my choice. Theme park Batman, deep in my voice. That's it for me, but make sure to call Cap, cause I'm gonna beat his ass with the Infinity Cap.
I mean, I mean, we say goodbye to Tony, right?
Later, Tony.
Sorry, Tony. All right. So Victor is our reigning champion. Who's up next?
All right. Up next is Ruben and La Puente. Hi, Ruben.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Is your rap better than Victor's? That's the question.
Well, we'll find out right now.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. Give me a ticket to Comic-Con. I hope I win because I've never gone. Collecting comics and action figures. There ain't no other con that's any bigger. Waking up every morning listening to Kevin and Bean. If I don't win, that's just plain easy.
All right, I appreciate the effort. And
Yo, Comic-Con Raps!
And I enjoyed the music of 1982 as well. But I think it's still Victor for me.
Still Victor, right?
Okay.
I think so.
All right, so Victor is in the lead. Let's go to Mario in Los Angeles. Hi, Mario.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're good. We're just asking if you can knock Victor off.
Let's see.
All right, let's see. Here we go. I mean,
you don't want to lose to a guy from Fontana, let's be honest. So really bring it.
look at me, trying to win some Comic-Con tickets today, and I wrapped it clearly, and I'm true Jedi if I know the Force is with me. I quote you some Marvel comics. I've been reading, so I've been hooked on comics. Come on, Kevin and Bean, hook it up for all of us fans who are down on a look.
Oh, I liked it. Guys, I liked it.
I didn't hate it.
Did you like it better than Victor? I don't think so.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's still so far. Victor's on top of the mountain. That was a great effort, though, sir. Thank you.
Let's go to Will in Long Beach. Hi, Will.
Hey, good morning, guys. Party people.
Good morning. Do you have a better rap than Victor?
Well, I think so. Better than Omar, definitely.
Right. Yeah, well, everyone's better than Omar.
I mean, that's a low bar. All right, let's hear it.
All right. I'm coming at you with mad verses about Comic-Con. Don't get nervous. While I'll be rapping, Kevin and Bean will be clapping. I'll be wondering, what is happening? Listeners will be rooting for me, so don't try to blast on me, or I'll freeze you like Sub-Zero. You'll go home from hero to zero. I'm the number one comic fan. You don't even know, man. Comic-Con, I'm about to preach that I'll be partying with Mario and Peach. About the superhero jam, you won't even understand. San Diego, here I am. Thanks, KROQ. I'll be cheering my beer to you.
I mean, again, I liked it.
I liked it as well.
I liked it.
Hey, I'm seeing on the paperwork here that it says we have two winners. Is that news to you guys?
Yes, because we were told one winner.
We were told one. Now, is that true, Dave?
Let's give away one. Let's just stick with the original
plan.
Stick
with one. Okay, all right. Yeah. Give away one for now.
So, what do we do with Will?
So, Will was better or not better?
No. Will not will better. Enjoy seeing Victor on Instagram okay. from Comic-Con this weekend, I think.
All right.
I think we got time for a couple more. How about Seth up next?
Seth and Chino. Hi there.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what's up?
Talking about rapping about Comic-Con. What do you got for us?
Okay. Let me tell you a story all about how my brother asked me to be his best man to my life upside down. He gave me these socks. They had the Robin logo. Damn, I wore these socks under my shoes. I really want to go to the House of Blues, meet Kevin and Bean. I'll be so serene. I'll be so grateful. I'll be repping. I won't be forgetting that K-Rock got me there while I visit Ant-Man and Wasp, and I have all this flair. Thank you, Kevin and Bean.
Oh, I hate this so much. We have so many good contestants. He's no Victor.
No.
And I'm sorry because
Yo, Comic-Con
sorry. Seth, I liked you very much and I very much appreciated your effort. All right. One more?
Yeah, let's do one more. It's Jacob in El Monte. Hi, Jacob.
Hello.
Hello. All right, you ready to rap for Comic-Con?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's hear it.
All right. Superman, Aquaman, Batman, Flash. I'll be kicking everybody else's ass. Winning tickets to the con is what I do. From Allie and Kevin and Bean Radio Crew. The hype is real. When I break this deal, I'll spit line. Talk to the note. I'm all deal. These tickets I'll steal too. I'm kind of well. I'm fan of Snap. And now I'm still.
I'm pregnant.
Right? Sorry, Victor. We have a winner, and his name is Jacob.
Ladies and gentlemen, guess who's going to San Diego Comic-Con at the Convention Center this weekend? Well done, you guys. Thanks to all the contestants for playing Yo! Comic-Con Raps.
Yo! Comic-Con Raps!
Ari Siegel, president and COO of the LA Valiant, you're telling me that some player out there who loves Overwatch is going to walk away at the end of this tournament with $1 million.
Is it a player or a team?
A team. A team will walk away with over $1 million.
But then you got to split it with all those people. Who needs that?
That's true, although I would say when you talk about being on ESPN, the exposure that you get out of that creates all sorts of opportunities for a player or team or league to monetize for months and years into the future.
Let's back up just a second and tell us what you do and what we're talking about, what the tournament is.
So, as you guys said, I'm the president and COO of the LA Valiant, which is the Pacific Division champion of Overwatch League. A lot to unpack.
And LeBron
there.
James just came to your team, right?
Nope, that's the Lakers. That's
I'm
different.
Sorry, I got the teams confused,
very
okay?
Different.
Hey, look, if LeBron is looking for a roster to join in Overwatch League, I'm sure we can create a spot for him. No, LeBron, if you're out there.
Just get you a message?
Yeah, just get me a message. Okay. We'll find a spot for you. But LA Valiant is a team that's owned by Immortals, which is an LA-based company that participates in 7 esports. Okay. So a little bit confusing, I know, but Overwatch is one game. Our LA Valiant is it's your LA's esports team in Overwatch League. So just like there's the LA Valiant, there's a team in New York, there's a team in Boston, there's a team in Philadelphia, there's a team in London.
Just tell me where I headed the team in Boston. That's all I need to know.
Are you a Boston guy?
No, I hate Boston.
Oh, okay, good.
And
okay.
Kraft owns it.
So now you have someone to root against, Kevin.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's actually one of the strategic underpinnings of Overwatch League, is when you have teams that are geolocated, and this is the first time that's ever happened in esports, you don't need much to be able to tell stories that are really compelling and relatable. For example, if I say to you, our team, the LA team, is playing the New York team or the Houston team, what's a bigger game?
Obviously, Excelsior.
Right, New York. If I say the LA team is playing the Dallas team or the San Francisco team, what's a bigger game?
San Francisco.
Of course. The regional rivalries create storytelling, and that's never existed before in esports. So Overwatch League is the first league, the first effort to really tap into that. It's very exciting.
That's interesting.
So how many people are on the team?
So each esport is different, but in Overwatch League, which is kind of the most relevant today, it's up to 12 players on a roster, but only 6 play at any one time. So
okay.
6
Oh, is that right? So they got 6 benchers, and then they got 6 players.
Well, in case somebody goes down, Kevin, right. You got to have somebody to step in if somebody gets hurt.
Well, look, just like any other sport or competitive activity, there's matchups, right? Different players have different skills.
Interesting.
And you try to optimize for the best combination of people on your side to play the best 6 guys on the girls on the other side.
Interesting.
And so the depending on who we play, the combination of people might be different.
Interesting.
That's interesting. Are there people who are playing Overwatch professionally at this point yet, Ari?
Yeah, Overwatch League is the professional league for Overwatch. So there's 12 teams this year. Each team has between 10 and 12 players. So there's about 140, 150 professional Overwatch players in the world.
And is there enough money that they make that they don't have to do other things?
I guess I would...
I mean, I guess it depends on what you're happy with.
I mean, yeah, it depends on what you're happy with. Yeah. But certainly the minimum salary in Overwatch League is probably in excess of median individual income in the United States.
Wow. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
All right. So we mentioned the championship, and that is going to be at the Barclays Center in New York, right?
Yep.
Down the road. But we are right around the corner. This weekend is kind of when the semifinals are happening, that people can still get involved at this point and still watch the Valiant, right?
That's right. In fact, we kick off our semifinals tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and that'll be at Blizzard Arena in Burbank, and you can watch it either on Disney XD or on Twitch. But on Friday, we have our playoff parties. And so, like I said, this is the first geolocated team. This is the first time a city or a region can actually embrace an esports team as its own. And so we are going to every corner of our market with watch parties. We are bringing the content to you.
That's awesome.
So we're having parties in LA at LA Beer Garden, in San Diego at Cali Comfort Barbecue, in the Inland Empire at Shot 20, in Orange County at Esports Arena in Santa Ana. And so people can go to playoffs.lavaliant.com and still buy tickets and come out and enjoy the show. We have some specials, great value. It's going to be a great time to see and experience esports.
Now, they're going to be taking on a team from London. Does the team from London come out here, or are they playing via satellite? How does that work?
Great question, and it's evolving in a really exciting way. So all of the games in Overwatch League, all of the games to this point have taken place in Blizzard Arena. So you have a main stage, and there's 6 people on one side and 6 on the other. And like Bean was saying, the finals will be in New York. Mm-hmm. In the future... all of the teams, so in a year or two, all of the teams will go to their home market. So the London team will be in London, and we'll be in LA, and the Boston team will in Boston, and the teams will actually travel the world to play each other.
Is that right?
So it is a truly global league with geolocated franchises that will have global travel logistics.
Wow.
But for right now, everybody's together in Burbank. Mm-hmm. Creates a better streaming or video experience. It allows the league to kind of find its footing. It allows the teams to work together and identify best practices and kind of build fandom in their own markets, so that when we all return to our own markets, that fan community already exists, and we can have vibrant season ticket and fan bases that come out at scale to see us play.
All right. Ari Siegel is the president and COO of the LA Valiant. That is our team, our Overwatch team. And I have this question for you. Do you have auditions for players who want to try to go pro, want to join your team?
One of the really exciting things about esports is how egalitarian the player selection process is.
I don't know that word. Sorry.
How equal it is.
Equal.
Equal, right?
Okay.
So everybody has an opportunity to play. It's not like Ted Leonsis was talking about this recently. You know, if you go and see a high school basketball game, you might see someone score 40 points and get 15 rebounds, and then the next year they're the 12th man on the bench at Duke. And you say to yourself, what happened? Well, the quality of competition in high school, he was in some small Catholic league, and the rest of the players weren't very good. The quality of competition creates this very difficult-to-gauge evaluation area. But in esports, the product, the access is global. Everybody's playing the same game. Everybody's connected by the internet. And so because every single thing is captured, all of the data, every time you play is captured.
So if you're playing Overwatch, all that information is out there.
All that information is out there. You have a global ranking. We know exactly how good you are in the entire world. And so outliers emerge. And then people like our CEO, Noah Winston, who for my money is the single best talent evaluator in the entire world, are able to understand how do you fit in those rankings. And then based on the characters that you play or the particular skills that you have or where you really outperform the average player, how would you fit in as the next player to our roster?
So you could be sitting in your home playing, knock at the door. Noah's like, hey, been checking out your stats.
Not even knock at the door. I mean, it's the proverbial technologically enabled knock at the door. It's boop. Direct message.
Oh, my God. That's so freaking amazing. So
we have players.
We've been watching you.
We have players on our team right now who a year ago were being, for example, homeschooled in Canada. And Noah identified them as talent.
Wow.
Reached out to them through Discord or through agents or through other means. And now they're professional Overwatch players living in Los Angeles. Professionals as, you know, 18-year-olds.
All right, some kid in Canada says to their mom, listen, mom, this guy Noah DM'd me. He wants to make me a star. Is it cool if I move to L.A.?
And he's got
a
man.
More or less.
Right? He's a grown man, mom. It's going to be fine.
Well, Noah's 23, so by percentage, he's quite a bit older than a lot of these
That's
guys.
That's true. All right.
This is crazy.
It's
fascinating.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, great. Fascinating.
Well,
All right.
We were talking about this before we went on air, but it's a competitive experience just like anything else. You cheer, you eat, you drink, mm-hmm. you wear your colors, you cheer for your team, you get to see people win and lose, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. It's just the way that people that are primarily 30 and younger are experiencing that today. It's very exciting.
And if you're an Overwatch fan in particular, A, you love watching the game, but B, you're seeing people do stuff you can't do within the game. You're seeing players who are better than you are, which is what makes it fun.
And unlike traditional sports, more than 50% of the people who watch esports, the primary reason they do it is because it improves their own gameplay.
So right. Think about all this. Watch it and get tips or whatever and figure out.
You watch it and get tips and then you go right and you play and you try to apply that thing you learned immediately.
Now, is it going to be on Twitch the whole time or does it transfer to some other network at some point?
Well, just last week, Overwatch League announced a partnership with Disney and ESPN where all of the playoffs and then next year, Overwatch League will be on a combination of networks and stations from Disney. It'll be on Disney XD and ESPN 3. The grand finals will be on ESPN and ESPN 2. There will be broadcast on ESPN 3 and Disney throughout next season. And so people that are kind of more traditional cable subscribers will get to experience esports for the first time. And the production quality and the production know-how that an ESPN or a Disney brings to sports entertainment will be integrated into that consumption experience even for core fans. So people can still watch on Twitch. Twitch is the exclusive OTT, you know, over-the-top streaming partner of Overwatch League outside of China, but it'll be on ESPN and Disney also.
Ari, my last question. Esports groupies.
Yes.
Are there?
Absolutely.
Nice!
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
That's part of our sales pitch to the 18-year-old in Canada.
Come
be a professional and get your groupies.
Where are you gonna have the best fans but Southern California?
And by the way, at our watch parties on Friday, if you want to see some of the groupies, they'll be there in full force.
Okay. Would your website, LAValiant.com, would that be the best kind of one-stop shopping for people to get all this information?
I would go to playoffs.LAValiant.com.
Playoffs@LAValiant.com.
Playoffs.LAValiant.com, yeah.
Dot. Okay.
Okay, got it. And that's for the Overwatch League. The Season 1 semifinals are this week, and it's going to go all the way through to the finals where the winning team will win $1 million. Fascinating, Ari. I suspect we will be seeing you again. Thanks so much for stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Go Valiant.
Hey, Bean, isn't that the latest from Imagine Dragons?
Yes, it is, Kevin, and they are coming to the Forum this weekend. Listen to this, you guys. Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m. and then throughout the rest of the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9, you get a pair of tickets to see the Imagine Dragons at the Forum, and you qualify for a grand prize drawing we'll do Friday morning where you get to meet, not only meet, but greet the band.
That's crazy.
And greeting is going to be going on. A backstage tour, signed vinyl copies of their new album called Evolve, from which that song comes, and $106 to spend at the Imagine Dragons merchandise booth. So all of that is going to be the grand prize during your chance to qualify coming up in about 20 minutes or so from right now.
It is 8:53.
More Imagine Dragons tickets coming your way in about 5 minutes or so here in K-Rock, and then we catch up with our old friend Adam Carolla. Been a while since we talked to the Ace Man. That's straight ahead. First, Allie, what's happening?
unfriended dark web. It's in theaters this Friday. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about this movie. It's this guy. He comes across this computer. No one comes to claim it, so he takes it home. There's this whole file that he opens up, and he starts seeing some really weird stuff. It takes him to the dark web. He's chatting with his friends that he usually plays games with. They're all talking through their computers, which is why I always say cover up that camera.
Right.
Because bad stuff starts happening to all these people because the owner of the computer wants their computer back because those files have really awful dark web stuff on it. I can't wait to die! It's terrifying. The trailer of this is all of my nightmares come true. It's Blumhouse. It's the guys that did Get Out. It's concerning.
It's awesome,
guys.
Is what it is.
Well, it is out in theaters this Friday, but I want to give three winners a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Unfriended Dark Web. It's this Thursday at AMC Burbank 16. If you give a call right now, let's take callers 20, 21, and 22 at 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to go and make sure that you have tinkled before it because you might pee your pants. I'm just saying. It looks terrifying.
Can you not use the word tinkle? Because we're not four.
All right. Okay. Anywho. You hate it so much. Yeah. Which would you rather, tinkle or anywho? You guys, Blake Shelton enjoys himself a cocktail, right?
He does.
This we know. Well, he took a spill during his set at Oregon's Pendleton Whiskey Music Festival on Saturday. And in typical Blake Shelton form, woke up the next day and begged Twitter followers to send him footage.
Oh, nice.
He wrote, "Okay, Pendleton, I know somebody is bound to have video of me falling on stage last night. Please, I have to see it. Post that S." And yes, I had been drinking.
That's awesome.
A lot. So Twitter delivered. They supplied video of the mishap. It looks like he appears to trip over his stage equipment. But then in typical Twitter form, womp, womp. Here comes Debbie Downer, who wrote, "So that's the type of quality show that you put on? For people that spend their hard-earned money to see you?
Oh,
is for you to show up drunk? That's some Justin Bieber on Hennessy throwing up on stage nonsense right there." To which Blake responded, "Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. This account is meant for people who actually have a sense of humor. We're not accepting crybaby tweets today, so maybe try again tomorrow." So everything about this story I enjoy and love. But, I mean, that's what you have to do. If you fall, at least this is what I do, because I tend to fall quite a bit because I wear wedge shoes. I'm on uneven cobblestones. Yes, I fell on vacation.
And you also enjoy a cocktail.
And I enjoy a cocktail. And I fell.
You did on vacation.
Yes. And I fell with my friend who I fell with the last time I hung out with him. He's like, "Are these the same shoes?" I'm like, "Nope, different." But here's what you do when you fall.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get up immediately. You stay down and you look around and you make sure people know that you're okay with that fall. That's what I do.
I see. So you own it.
Own it.
You're like, "You guys think that's funny? I'm good.
Right? I'm good. I love it down here. You need anything?" Yeah, it's amazing. You got to do
seems
that.
Seems like a lot of work, but okay.
It seems like a lot of work. Also, I threw out those shoes.
Yeah, well.
They're just not. They're not good.
Right?
Yeah, the ankle was
not
a little loose, and I was like, I can't.
I can't wear a shoe with an ankle that's loose.
Thank you. I have said it for years. And does this interest anybody? A British university professor says that he has found a long-lost screenplay by the iconic director Stanley Kubrick. It is called Burning Secret. It follows an insurance salesman who befriends a boy at a spa resort in order to seduce his married mother. He wrote the play in 1956, and then apparently MGM gave the play the green light to be made into a screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody heard about it again.
Huh.
This is the full done screenplay.
How about that?
A Stanley Kubrick movie.
And he didn't think enough of it to ever want it to be put out or go back and say, "Hey, give me my work back."
Maybe
he just forgot about it.
Maybe he forgot. He's okay. Busy.
You write a full screenplay. You don't forget about it.
He's like, let me put this in this drawer. And then he just forgot.
I guess I'm saying, yeah, like if it's good, sure, I hope something comes of it. But I don't have a lot of high expectations that it is. It's a lost masterpiece.
All right.
Wow, B's tough to please. Yeah,
well, I mean, it was before he started doing the stuff that got him well known and, you know, that his lasting work. So who knows if the Stanley Kubrick that we know today was that Stanley Kubrick back then. That's all I'm saying.
Good point. Good point, Bean. And sorry to everybody on Amazon.com during Amazon Prime Day. If you logged on immediately and you were one of the first ones to see a big old dog of Amazon with text that read, sorry, something went wrong on our end. That meant that the site had crashed in your neighborhood.
No!
You were part of the country. Yeah, it's true. But I looked into it, and I was so overjoyed that the dogs that are on those pages that pop up, those are dogs that belong to people that work at Amazon. And I felt a connection to those people, and I was less mad when I couldn't order my soundbar immediately.
Okay.
So I logged on a little while later. No pug, got the soundbar.
Okay.
But people were freaking out yesterday, you guys. It's Amazon Prime Day. It crashed.
They do crazy business on that day.
Insane. Yeah. Last year, on the 30-hour event, they generated an estimated $1 billion in sales. Others put Amazon's Prime Day haul closer to $2.8 billion, which is insane, you guys.
That is insane.
That's an insane amount of money. And you get to see dogs when something goes wrong. So
it's like if dogs could talk.
It's so much like that. Good point, sir. Some birthdays for you. Luke Bryan, Billy Lord, Donald Sutherland, and David Hasselhoff. And that's what's happening.
Hey, congratulations to Fong Lee, you guys, from El Monte. Just won his or her tickets to go see Imagine Dragons at the Forum this weekend and qualified to win that grand prize, including a meet and greet with the band. We'll do that grand prize drawing for you on Friday morning. Would your guess be Fong Lee is a he or a she, do you think?
Don't know.
Let's go to Corolla. He's good at stuff like this.
No, let's not.
Corolla, Fong Lee, man or woman?
I can tell you she was a man and then became a woman.
All right.
And Scarlett Johansson was going to play the role of Fong Lee.
Right.
But the gay community was outraged and she's had to pull out.
All right, I warned you, Bean.
You did warn me.
That's all on you.
No, that was an own goal. I'm sorry about that. That was totally my fault. Listen, Adam Carolla, I'm so happy you're on it. I'll tell you why in a second, but let me get the business taken care of first. Adam is always doing his hilarious stand-up and live podcast tapings. He has one coming up at the end of next week, Friday, July 27th at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. That's next on the calendar to see the Ace Band in person, available at AdamCarolla.com. And we're also giving away tickets for your live podcast taping at the City National Grove of Anaheim, which isn't until November, but we have, for some reason, we have some of those today. So you can call right now if you want to see the Ace Band in November at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 through 24 to win, and you can get your tickets at AdamCarolla.com for all the upcoming shows. All right, Adam, we've known each other for how long now?
God, almost 25 years, coming up on our 25th anniversary.
Exactly. And I found out something about you just this week that I never knew about, never heard about, and I'm dying to talk to you about it. And that is your
third nipple.
And that
second
is
V-hole.
I'm gonna awesome. Say these words to you, Adam. Laszlo Gorog.
Yes. That was my grandfather.
Laszlo Gorog was an Academy Award-nominated screenwriter who I just found out this week was Adam Carolla's grandfather.
Yes.
Did you know him?
Well, a couple of things. Yes, okay. I did. And I rarely say that to most of my male friends, but Bean, you got to start looking at more porn. You're using that internet for all the wrong things.
First of all, he wrote The Mole People. He wrote Earth versus the Spider. I mean, this guy is right in my wheelhouse. I had no idea. And the reason I asked if you knew him is when you were first getting the inclination that you wanted to get into media, get out of construction and get into radio and TV and stuff like that, is he the type of person that you could have gone to for some sort of help, some sort of in the business?
Well, so here's the Carolla family tree in a nutshell.
All right.
I did not know my biological grandfather on either side. My dad's dad died when my dad was 18, and my biological grandfather on my mom's side basically left the family when my mom was an infant. Okay. Laszlo Gorog is my step-grandfather
okay.
from Hungary, who came to the United States during World War II when Hitler was setting up, you know, gulags and death camps in Hungary. He fled a couple of years before, you know, he saw which way the wind was blowing. By the way, that's why we all got to move to Canada now. This would have been about 1938 Hungary. That's where we are right now.
That is an outstanding point.
Well, what I'm saying is everyone else in Budapest was like, where are you going, Laszlo? And he's like, I'm going to the United States to write the mole people so I don't get put in a death camp. And they're going, get out of here. 1938, these are modern times. And I was going to make a death camp.
All good.
That's
funny.
Yeah. So he fled here. He became my step-grandfather.
Okay. Because your grandma was a goer.
Yes, and that's why I grew up on goulash and chicken paprikash and no kettle and all this Hungarian food because he cooked and he loved food. And the funniest thing about his life is he ended up in North Hollywood, California in the, you know, 60s and 70s, the most boring place in the world. All he wanted was some, like, stuffed goose liver and paprikash and all this kind of stuff. He couldn't find it anywhere. At a certain point on Laurel Canyon in North Hollywood, he saw a new building going up with a big sign above it that said, Der Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh, no.
Thought, finally, I can get some schnitzel in this godforsaken town. And he ended up getting a corn dog. And then he died.
Have you been to Hungary, Adam?
No, I hear it's magnificent, and I should. And he raised me, this guy. You know, my family are horrible flunkies. He actually fed me and raised me and took care of me. I used to sleep at his house like three times a week.
Is that
so
right?
I have a great affection for Laszlo Gorog.
Well, I was just thinking, and I don't know how, you know, media works anymore. I don't know if there'd be any interest in this, but I would be fascinated to see a guy like you who has this background and this strong relationship with your Hungarian grandfather to go to the old country and trace those footsteps and meet his people and meet other family members that you don't know about and, you know, get into the culture and just kind of explore. I think that would be like a really interesting. No, that would be a really what?
Step grandfather.
I know, but it's still related to, not by blood, but you're still related to. I just think it'd be interesting to see. I'd love to see Adam's 21st century perspective on going to Hungary and seeing his where his grandparents came from. I just think that's interesting.
Are we all making individual requests of Adam? Is that what's happening?
Because I would like you to find someone with two bungholes and interview him. I think that would be fascinating.
I mean, a lot of people pitch a lot of shows to you, Adam. I just throw it out there.
What about
there?
You
all.
Going back to Hungary where that your step-grandpa came from?
You could learn how to make paprikash in the old villages.
I'll have to put that stand-up special with Dave Chappelle on hold. We can go down to YouTube Red and pitch Adam Goes to the Old Country.
See, it's even got a title. Adam Goes to the Old Country. All right. One more thing before you go, and it's not about your grandfather.
Okay, good.
Francisco, 323, texting in. Kevin Abeed, please ask Adam, what's the update on the K-Rock documentary?
The update on the K-Rock doc is that we've done probably 50 interviews, including yourselves, obviously, and Jimmy, and I think the aforementioned Imagine Dragons and everybody else. We're put together a sizzle reel, as they call it in the business. We're getting close to get out there and pitching it, but it's now on the back burner because of Adam Carolla Goes to the Old Country.
Way to go,
Bean.
You a-hole.
That is so unfortunate. Adam, when is your stand-up comedy special that you just finished taping? When is that going to air? Because that's very exciting.
Thank you. And I shot it in Portland, and it's finished now, and we're right about to go out and sell it. I don't know where yet, but again, back burner,
because of new project. Adam Carolla goes
listen,
to Old Country.
Listen, Adam, don't feel like you have to take Bean's suggestion and do
it's
that.
It's just an idea.
Don't
just
feel
an
like
idea.
You have to.
That's all I'm saying.
Is what I'm saying.
All right, you can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the upcoming live shows, including a week from Friday at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. Tickets available just $25 at AdamCarolla.com. And don't forget the show coming up in November as well at the City National Grove of Anaheim. All right, anything else for us, Adam, before we say goodbye, sir?
Saying, if you guys like Ace Carolla Live and you like hot goulash talk, come on down to Borderline.
Thank you, Adam. Those dudes at Muse are going to join us Thursday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show with a new song. You're excited about that.
Me too.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
Yep.
Hey, just backing up to the Laker talk for 1 second from the 661. Putting LeBron to the side, says Nina. What about Rondo, you guys? What about Rondo? F that guy. No one can root for that guy, right? Hashtag Celtics suck.
Yeah, that hurts me.
You are going to have to deal with that, Kevin. Yeah,
I only have to deal with it if he's actually helping. If he's playing well, he's helping the Lakers. Okay.
Then you get yourself a Rondo jersey.
Although I will tell you this, Vlade Divac, who would never have the importance to the team as the people we're talking about. I hated him the entire time he was a Laker.
Okay.
Because he was a flopper.
Right.
And
he gave athletes who smoke, though, some hope.
That's true.
They, too, could play professional
sports. He
smoked
a pack a minute.
And if it wasn't for Vlade, there'd be no Kobe on the Lakers.
That's a crazy trade.
That was a straight-up trade.
Trade Vlade for Kobe.
For this young gentleman. Not sure how he'll turn out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So God bless Vlade.
No one says
what we're saying.
Okay.
Yes. God bless Vlade going away from the Lakers so Kobe could come here. All right.
All right, Allie, can you land this plane for us? Can we get enough altitude to get off the boat?
I don't know.
Let's try.
We never discussed this, but did any of you read that Rolling Stone article on Johnny Depp?
Yes.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Right?
It was sad.
It was. It was very sad. But one thing you learned in it is that he was suing his former managers for about $25 million, saying that the reps at the management group spent millions of dollars without his permission. And then the management group filed a countersuit claiming that Depp was responsible for all his own financial woes. Court documents revealed that Johnny Depp spent $2 million plus per month on wine, homes, a yacht, and staff. And he paid to blast Hunter S. Thompson's ashes from a cannon. And which I enjoyed in the article because he basically was like, nah, it didn't happen that way. I had a bigger canyon. It was cannon. It was even more expensive. And he said in the interview, it's insulting to say I spent $30,000 on wine. It was far more. It's like, holy crap.
Johnny Depp.
Right. Yes, it was quite the interview. But here's the thing. That trial was scheduled for August 15th, but Variety reports that the two sides had mediation over the weekend, and they have reached a settlement. So
Johnny Depp.
Again, yes, that lawsuit has been settled. We don't know, obviously, the turnout, what happened, but I guess that's good news.
Sure.
How did Johnny Depp continue to work after the assault on his wife, Amber Heard, when so many others, without even physical assault, have not been able to work afterwards?
It's a great question.
It's a great question.
Because he's not just working. He's in huge, high-profile movies like Fantastic Beasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's weird that there seems to be some sort of double standard for him.
Yeah.
Don't have the answer to that.
I don't either.
The monkeys.
Right. I'm going to tell you a little story about my favorite soccer player. A 19-year-old from France, Mbappe.
Mbappe.
Stupid. Stupid. Okay, here's the thing. I did this story at 6 o'clock, and Omar said, hey, if you do the story again, I did a little something for it.
Mbappe.
That's it? That is it? I was expecting so much more.
Mama said there'd be deals like this.
I was expecting so much more, and I'm so happy.
Mbappe.
I'm so happy that's it.
So there was a stat before he played in the final of the amount of money that 19-year-olds made in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron James was $4 million. Kevin Durant was about $4 million. Mbappe is making $20.4 million.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Mbappe.
A gift from the gods.
It's not bad, eh? Here's the thing. he wins the World Cup. He scores 4 goals. The kid is 19 years old.
Yep. Braver than a bullfighter with no knickers on.
Here's what he decides to do. He earns about $23,000 per game, and he announced that he will be donating his World Cup winnings to a charity that gives free sports instruction to hospitalized and disabled children in sports.
Heroic stuff!
That's awesome.
He's been supporting this charity since 2017, and here's the part that I love so much. The article says, after talking with his folks... So he sat down with his parents and said, listen, here's what I'd like to do. And, of course, his parents were like, well, set some aside for
us. What about us?
They didn't say that. But here's the breakdown. He received a bonus of about $350,000 after France won the tournament and then donated all of the earnings, the $23,000 per game, to this charity, which comes out to be a little over $500,000.
There you see those tears. Look at them. Teardrops the size of pineapple chunks.
He's great.
He is. He's amazing.
And I love him so much.
And he's 19.
He's 19.
That's not human. And it is not. It is superhuman.
He was down there working on that and was like, if you do story again, like, I really thought.
You thought it had like a whole theme song or something?
I thought he spent a lot of time.
Yeah, have you met Omar?
Yep.
What more can you see?
It's all too much. Remember Rugrats?
No.
Yes.
Come on, Bean. It ran for 9 seasons.
I was not in the demo for Rugrats, and I hate cartoons, but right. I know that it existed.
Well, it was huge. It was 91 to 2004, and then they had 3 feature films that grossed over $200 million. No big whoop. Well, it's being revived at Viacom with a new Nickelodeon series as well as a feature film. So it will return to Nickelodeon with 26 episodes, and then the feature film done with CGI in November of 2020. Rugrats, bitches! It's back! Okay. Come on! I love Rugrats.
All right.
All right. Just me? Chip. Rugrats?
Yeah.
All right. Bean?
Still no.
Still no? Still no. Yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure if it changed.
I don't think he changed his mind in the last 30 seconds.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Bop.
That's the longest I've ever let a woman who I'm not sleeping with speak uninterrupted. You're welcome.
Mark Maron! How dare you? Is that from Glow?
It is.
That is good. This whole Nick Jonas Priyanka Chopra thing. It's real.
It's over now, right?
No.
But now.
No. Just over the weekend, they went on a double date with Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner. They hit the town in London with Joe Jonas and his fiancée, Sophie Turner. And the foursome went to 34 Restaurant in Mayfair.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
Here's the thing. So you then have to go to dinner with your brother, Joe. And then Kevin Jonas joined them as well.
What the f***?
That's what I'm saying. The brothers were over in England to support Joe's band playing at Hyde Park. And then they all went to Paris to see Beyonce and Jay-Z. She now has to hang out with the Jonas Brothers.
It's not a plus for her, but
Nick. Yeah, it's a plus for them. They get to hang out with Priyanka Chopra. But
sure.
You guys.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
He is pretty cute.
And then I saw on TMZ yesterday that Nick and Joe were in Mexico, and there was a picture of them at the hotel where they got their photo taken with former porn star Mary Carey, who was down there getting married. And there's a photo of all of them with her and her new husband and the Jonas Boys in Mexico. So I don't know what the Jonas Brothers are running from, but they are all over the globe right now, man.
They're running from the authorities?
Maybe. Something's going on.
Wow. It's a deep dive.
Right?
Into the Jonas Brothers. Good stuff. Some birthdays for you. Not his birthday. Donald Sutherland, Billy Lord, Luke Bryan, and David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Hey. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there. Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're
get
like...
them what?
Where is, right. is there...
What's them?
Is there what?
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
Come here midnight.
Come here for sure.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
Usually, especially for a big event like this, they might be sold out.
What event?
Whatever he's talking about.
Major fan of K-Rock. Oh. I love to, introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that for you.
Yes. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, the SoCal Helpful Honda dealer. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Bird scooters. Are they ruining your life?
I got enough goddamn birds in my life.
You don't need a scooter named after it?
I don't know how people can be so upset about public transportation scooters.
Oh, because they're not left on your lawn, Bean.
It's litter. It's literally litter.
Okay. But if you need a scooter, there's one within a few blocks of where you are, right?
Sure.
That's the goal of the thing.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
Omar went camping. We talked a lot about this before we went on vacation, but he took on the great outdoors and apparently had to battle some animals.
Oh.
So we'll find out about that tomorrow, and we've got your passes for Comic-Con as well tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.